Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Yes, teaching you how to make your purpose work for you. It sounds kind of self-serving or something, but it's true. When you engage your purpose, when you find it, it works on your behalf as much as you work at expressing it. It makes a place for you. It gives you joy. Sometimes it provides your income and your living. But whatever its role in your life, it is something that God wants you to know, God wants you to have, and that is what I have devoted a good part of my adult life to helping people find. So nice to have you back today. Glad you could be here. I'm going to continue with the trend that I have been including my own messages up to this point over the last year. I have mostly interviewed other people or had a few people interview me. Now we're going a little more traditional Christian radio in that there is a pre-recorded message that you will listen to. And again, it's one of my favorites. And I guess I could say that about all of them I have only because I don't preach every Sunday. So when I did here locally where I live, I would use messages that I have preached in the past or as I've traveled and honed them and sharpened them. So these are really a collection of messages that I've given on more than one occasion. I have been able to refine them and edit them and get them to the point where I think I can say what I want to say in a short amount of time. And so today we're going to be listening to a message, and I listened to, and as I did one the other day on a Samson, I said it was a good refresher for me. So we're going to listen to the story today of Jonathan and his armor bearer. It's called Cliffhanger Faith. As you listen, you'll understand where the title came from. And it is a story that I reflect on often because here is a man who stepped out, did something unusual, and God used him to bring a great victory to his people. So without further ado, let us listen together to my recording of Cliffhanger Faith.
Pastor Rock is not here. I'm pinch hitting. Just remember what I always say, even pinch hitters can hit home runs. They just don't get to play every day. So if you have your Bibles, which we don't, that doesn't happen too much anymore. When we started to put the Bible up on the wall in churches around the world, people started bringing their Bibles less and less. So if you do have your Bible, if you go please to John chapter 14, Brother Tucker. The baby didn't cry during the musicians either. Baby cries while I start speaking. You have enough? You okay? Fair formula and everything? Okay, good. Brother Tuck, Lolita, if she needs anything, make sure she gets it. And so, John 14, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. It is amazing how often Jesus had to say to the people, I am telling the truth. What else could he do? What else could he say? But what he had to say was going to seem so bizarre to unspiritual ears. It was going to seem so abnormal, even though what he was going to say was normal, that they just couldn't believe what they were hearing. So Jesus had to preface it by, Amen, Amen, or Verily I say unto you, or in this particular translation, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. The second verse, second passage that I've chosen for tonight is found in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. The title of my message is Cliffhanger Faith. And the point that I want you to remember as we go through the message is that your faith should enable you to attempt and achieve greater things than you ever thought possible if you don't give in to fear. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege of opening and venturing into your word. We pray tonight, today, for two miracles. That one is the miracle of speech, that you would enable me to say the words that Jesus would say if he was standing here right now. That will require a miracle, but I surrender myself for that to take place. Use me, Lord. The second miracle is the miracle of hearing, that you would enable us to hear what you would say. Open our ears, open our hearts, Lord. Help us to put aside the cares of the day, the cares of the hour. Allow, Lord, that each of us will go home, hundreds of us, thousands of us, and say that message was just for me. That will require a miracle. But you're a miracle-working God, and we ask that you would do these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. As we open God's word, may the Lord be with you. The point that I would like us to remember is that your faith should enable you to attempt and achieve greater things than you ever thought possible if you don't give in to fear. Now, going back to our introductory passage in John 14, Jesus said, "The things that I have done, that I am doing, you will do, and even greater things." Now, when I have smaller groups or wherever it works, I ask people for feedback. What do you think the greatest thing that Jesus ever did? And many people say die on the cross for our sins, and certainly that would qualify. But then generally right behind that is someone will say, well, Jesus raised the dead. And I would have to say, well, in my mind, that's pretty close to the top of the list. That Jesus would go to a dead body, resuscitate the person, bring them back to life. He did it on more than one occasion. That's a pretty supreme miracle. And Jesus said, these kind of things you will do in even greater things. And I say, Lord, how can I top that? And you may have asked the same question, and generally we come to the conclusion we can't, so we don't even try. Yet these verses don't go away. It also says, whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. And we can go through some spiritual gymnastics and calisthenics to explain that away. But basically it's saying, when you pray, I'll answer you. That's what it says. But you know, I've come to the conclusion, and feel free to disagree with me, but the greater things aren't just raising the dead, the more public, more spectacular things, but for some of you, it would take as much faith to open your business, to start your ministry, to write and publish your book, to expand into what it is that God wants you to do. It would take as much faith as raising the dead. See, Jesus never wrote a book. He never opened an orphanage. He never opened a hospital. He never started a business. He never launched a mission except in the context of Israel. Why not? Because he left that for you and for me to do. Those are the greater things. The greater thing for us is not to congregate and watch other people perform in what it is that God wants them to do. The greater things is for you to do and achieve and accomplish what it is that God wants you, has assigned for you to do. And that will take great faith. It will take courage. It will take prayer. It will take, as it said in Daniel 11:32, it will take a people who know their God and who are willing to display strength and take action. Many of you know I've, over the years, gone to Africa many times, and people come to me and say, well, I wish I'd go to Africa with you. I say, well, why don't you? Planes leave every day with empty seats. It's not like there's one a year, and it was yesterday, and you missed it. Why don't you? Well, now we get, well, it's $1,700. And we wring our hands. You get emails? Well, no. Why? Because a computer costs $1,000. And it does. Real dollars. Real dollars. Not Monopoly money. But then we will sing, my God can do anything. You going on the mission trip? No, it costs $800. Anything. You giving in a special? Well, no, I just, you know, it's tight. My God can do. Oh, it brings a tear to my eye. And it does, because it's a good song. But the essence of our walk with the Lord isn't singing good songs alone. It's singing good songs and acting on the message that is in those good songs. Now, how do we define, you know, I said our faith should enable us to do great things. How do we define great? Because is it climbing Mount Everest? Is it, you know, is it you know, running, you know, the Iron Man, Iron Woman race or whatever? And how do we define that? Well, there's one quote from a philosopher, Frederick Buechner, that summarizes it for me. It says, the place God calls you to is that place where your deep gladness and the world's deep need meet. Some of you have a heart for young people. Some of you have a heart for children. Some of you have a heart for a foreign nation. Some of you have a heart for a neighborhood. Some of you have a heart for a family or a street where close by where you live. If that's where what bubbles up in you and gives you joy and there's need there, then there's a perfect marriage. And if you will act on what is in you, you will be able to achieve something, the greater things that Jesus referenced. They aren't just accessible to a few super saints. They're available to all those who call upon His name. Now, the name of the message, the title of the message is Cliffhanger Faith. You say, well, where does cliffhanger faith come in? Well, to tie that in, we're going to go to a chapter, for really two chapters, 1 Samuel 13, and we're going to read through into 1 Samuel 14. So we've got a lot of verses to read. So bear with me and watch the screens or listen to my voice, and we will get through this with God's help and be right on time. And 1 Samuel 13 says, now no blacksmith could be found in all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, otherwise the Hebrews will make swords or spears. So all Israel went down to the Philistines, each to sharpen his plowshares, his mattock, his axe, and his hoe. The charge was 2/3 of a shekel for the plowshares, the mattocks, the forks, and the axes, and to fix the hoes. So it came about on the day of battle that neither sword nor spear was found in the hands of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and his son Jonathan. Interesting that Israel was under the domination of the Philistines, the enemies of the people of God. There were only two known swords in the whole of Israel. The king had one and his son had one. And if anybody else had anything that could potentially be a weapon to get it sharpened, they had to go to the Philistines and get permission or even pay a fee. The first point I want to make to you in the context of cliffhanger faith is that your enemy never fights fair. Your enemy never fights fair. We are in a battle whether we like it or not. He will use discouragement, disappointment, fear, and any other means at his disposal to keep you inactive. See, the Philistines said, Israel, if you're going to do anything of significance, you have to come through us. You have to pay your dues to us. You have to pay a price to us. And Israel went along with it. They had allowed themselves to get to the point where they had no swords. They had no ability to fight the enemy, so they thought. So therefore, they did not even try. And many of you believe that you are disarmed. That your past failures or your inadequacies or the lack in your life will keep you from doing anything beyond where you are, maybe a few inches beyond where you are, but no more. The best you could hope in this mindset is to watch somebody else, to watch them on television, to watch them in church, to read their book, but those kind of things elude you. Because, and then you can fill in the blank. Victims of the ploy of the enemy. No different today than it was 3,000 years ago. To convince the people of God that they are powerless. When they're really not. The enemy's goal is to take the sword out of your hand. You know, throughout Scripture, and especially the New Testament, the sword is the Word of God. But I don't think that's specifically what Scripture is pointing to here. It's anything that you could use to go on the offensive. For years, I would go to Africa. The needs were so great, and because the needs were so great, and I couldn't do something that I considered big enough or great, I would do nothing. Then just recently, I said, my thinking is wrong. Just because I can't do the big thing doesn't mean I can't do something. So I started a fund and I started to raise money to feed AIDS orphans and widows. And just it was just this week, we had put a little container over in the bistro, one of the restaurants here. And they gave me an envelope with the proceeds. From that little container over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and it was $56. And I said, yes, that's $56 more than I had last week. And I can send this to Africa, and they can use it. So because up to this point, I wouldn't pick up the sword because I couldn't give $10,000. I couldn't give $50,000. So I wouldn't give 50. It was bad thinking. Do you have bad thinking? If you do, we are playing into a strategy that keeps us ineffective and unproductive. Because we can't write a book, we won't write a letter. Because we can't preach like Billy Graham, we won't make a phone call that could change or impact somebody's life or encourage them where they are in that day, in that hour. Because the sword has been taken out of our hand. And the enemy says, unless you have a degree, and unless you fulfill certain regulations, you've got to sharpen what you have through us or you can't do it at all. And when the people of God should stand up and say, we don't need that. God plus you make a majority wherever He puts you. You are never outnumbered. And someone in Israel understood that. Let's go on. 1 Samuel 14. Now the day came that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who was carrying his armor, come and let's cross over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. And Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people who were with him were about 600. And Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the priest of the Lord at Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. And the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to cross over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp crag on the one side and a sharp crag on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Senna. And the one crag rose on the north opposite Michmash, and the other on the south opposite Geba. And then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, Come and let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, for the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Turn yourself, and here I am with you according to your desire. Second point I'd like to make out of that passage is you will face tremendous obstacles as you seek to achieve something significant, something great. I mean, Jonathan, to get to where the Philistines were, had two crags, two cliffs on either side of him. These cliffs had names. You got to be a heavy-duty cliff to get a name. You're just not like a little compost pile. You're just not a little hill. You got a name. You're a significant cliff. You rank up there with the big boys. And he was facing two of them, and you're facing them too. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough money. I've been a failure in the past. I'm too old. I'm too young. I live on the north side. Well, that could be a big one. But anyway, that's... These cliffs had names. The army had concluded that these cliffs were insurmountable. They could go so far, and they could go no further. And that's where some of you perhaps are. There's a line right here that helps us for staging purposes, and some of you will go that far and no further, but there's nothing to stop you from going further except what you think about this line. There's nothing special about that line. That's not the you don't have a degree line. I mean, that doesn't mean you can't cross over that. That doesn't mean, I've been bankrupt. That doesn't mean you can't cross over that. That doesn't mean I'm afraid to speak in front of other people. That doesn't mean you can't cross over it unless you determine that you can't cross over it. But Jesus said, those that follow and believe in me will do greater things than I did. And Jesus crossed a lot of lines. These cliffs had names. Now, the other thing that strikes me about the passage we just read is Jonathan said, perhaps. See, many of us want certainty. We want ironclad evidence that God is in this. I hear people all the time, God hasn't spoken to me. I want a visitation. I want confirmation. But Jonathan said, let's go up, maybe. Let's go up, maybe. Let's do maybe. Maybe God will help us. Maybe God will do something. Now he's going up to face the whole army with one sword. And he's playing fast and loose with maybe. Maybe God will help us. To want an ironclad proof that God is asking you to do something is not faith, it's presumption. To think that God owes you a full and complete explanation before he would expect you to step over the line is not faith. It's fear. It's fear that you're going to do the wrong thing. Fear that you're going to miss God's will for your life. Fear that people are going to criticize you. Fear that once you step over, there'll be no turning back. Fear that you won't know what the next step will be after that. It's not nobility. Fear. Jonathan said, perhaps. It's interesting, too, that God did not speak to the armor bearer. Jonathan spoke to the armor bearer. Sometimes someone around you will get the word, and you're just supposed to follow. But it's not my line. Well, that's true. But if God joined you with that person, or God joined you with that movement, or God joined you with that church, he may not speak directly to you. And you have to make your best faith estimate of what it is that God would require. I've faced this. Every Sunday night I sit down to write a, an email that goes around the world. Last Sunday night, I wrote something. I said, this is one of the dumbest things I've written in the 8 years I've been doing this. This is stupid. This is lame. Don't send this out. I'm facing this cliff. This is people going to say, don't do it. And I sent it out, and I got more feedback this week than anything I've written from previous weeks. We all face it. I face it. 8 years ago, when I started the organization that called Purpose Quest, when I started going out and speaking and doing what I did, I was fearful. Oh, I went to Afghanistan and I faced some natural things there. I'm not talking about that kind of fear. It's the internal fear. It's the fears of inadequacy. It's the fears that I won't have enough to take it to the next level. And we talk ourselves into this. And somehow Jonathan got sick of it in Israel, and he decided to do something about it. And his armor bearer was with him. And the armor bearer said, well, you go, you lead the way, and I'll follow. I'm not hearing anything, but obviously you are. So let's go. Now, excuse me, Mr. Armor Bearer, you don't have a sword. Remember, you got one, but you have to give it to him when you get up. Well, what are you going to do when you get up there? Are you going to choke people? Going to poke them in the eye? You don't have any sword. Yeah, but I'm going up. Let's go on. Then Jonathan said, behold, we will cross over to the men and reveal ourselves to them. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand in our place and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hands, and this shall be the sign to us. When both of them revealed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they have hidden themselves. So the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will tell you something. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, yes. Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hands of Israel. Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet with his armor bearer behind him. And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, put some to death after him. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half a furrow in an acre of land. Third point is your goal will require tremendous effort on your part. You know how I got to Africa? I'd get on a plane, fly 24 hours, 36 hours. You know how I write my books? One page at a time, one day at a time. It's not part of the heavenly Jerusalem. It does not descend from on high. What God wants you to do, you will have to do. It will cost you sleep. You will have to exert yourself. You will make mistakes. You will learn. You will grow. Or you will be back with the army of 600 under the pomegranate tree, admiring the one sword that King Saul had. It's not magic, brothers and sisters. Now, it's interesting to me that they chose the confirmation that they did. See, if you and I put out a confirmation to the Lord, what I would say is, oh Lord, let 8 rocks fall if you want me to go up. Let 3 go over here, let 5 go over here, and let them be stacked on top of one another. Then I'll know it's you. Jonathan said, we're going to show ourselves to the fortified high place, and if they call us up, we're going. You say, Jonathan, hello. Hello, Jonathan. Why wouldn't they call you up? I mean, they got nothing to lose. You're the one that has to come up. But see, they were not looking for a reason to delay, but a reason to go. And they got their hands dirty from climbing. Again, God did not pick them up and carry them with a blast of wind from his nostrils to the top of those cliffs. They had to climb, and the poor armor bearer behind Jonathan, who's getting all the stones, keep going. It's okay. They got their fingernails dirty. They scraped their shins. We used to sing Ron Canole's song, going up to the high places, going up to the high places, going up to the high places, to tear the devil's kingdom down. Let's go up, going up. Wasn't the last time you went up? It's dangerous when you climb. They weren't rappelling. They didn't have a safety net. They're going up with one sword, not knowing what they were going to meet when they got to the top of the hill. But when they got there, God was there waiting for them. And when you get to where God wants you to be, He will welcome you with open arms and say, "What took you so long?" And there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. Even the garrison and the raiders trembled, and the earth quaked so that it became a great trembling. Now Saul's watchmen in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. And they went here and there, and Saul said to the people who were with him, "Number now, and see who has gone from us." And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor-bearer were not there. Then Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God here." For the ark was at that time with the sons of Israel. And while Saul talked to the priest, the commotion in the camp of the Philistines continued and increased. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all the people who were with him rallied and came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there was very great confusion. Now the Hebrews who were with the Philistines previously, who had went up with them all around in the camp, even they also turned to be with the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Point number four, God does not act until you act. Some, myself included, have waited, "God, when you move, I will move." And sometimes God says, "No, you move, and then I'll move. I made the last move. It's now your move. But I need a sign." He said, "Well, I raised my son from the dead. If I did that, and you believe it, I can do anything." Next. Questions? There's a time to pray and a time to do. Saul used the things of God as a delay tactic. Bring the ephod. "Saul, you are the army. You are the king. Your son is up there doing the job that you should be doing. This is not the time to seek the Lord through the priest with the ephod." "I'm praying about it." "Are you? What's God saying? What are you hearing?" Hebrews 11:34, interesting verse, says, "From weakness were made strong, became mighty in battle." I say, "God, make me mighty. If I feel mighty, I'll go into battle." Hebrews 11:34 says, "You go into battle, you'll get mighty." I said, "How do I know I'll get mighty?" That's where trusting God comes in. That's cliffhanger faith. What did Jonathan know? Not much. Perhaps the Lord will help us. And then finally, your action may spur others to action. We are to encourage and stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That's why I'm so passionate about broadcasting and publishing and writing and just telling everything that God does for you, because you don't know what it will mean in somebody else's life when you do. And the enemy will come and say, "That's stupid." And your own mind will say, "That's silly. It's insignificant. Don't tell anybody. You're drawing attention to yourself. It's pride. It's pride." You know how God hates it? So don't do it. No, broadcast the goodness of God. Magnify the Lord. Take the smallest thing that He has done and blow it up so everybody can easily see it. And they can be encouraged to take their own faith steps. That's right on cue. It's amazing how that worked. Just right as I was wrapping up. Number one, your enemy never fights fair. Number two, you will face tremendous obstacles as you seek to achieve something great as we've defined great. Your goal will require tremendous effort on your part. And four, God does not act until you act. Remembering our main point that your faith should enable you to attempt and achieve greater things than you ever thought possible if you don't give in to fear. Let's pray. The Bible says in Hebrews that man's great fear is death. And Jesus came to set us free from that fear. And if you're here tonight and you've never given your life to the Lord, then the fear of death clings to you. Oh, you may not think a lot about it, and you're young or you're in good health, but it's there. What happens when you die? That's why you don't face it, because you're afraid. Jesus came to set you free from the fear of death. The last enemy for us is death, and Jesus conquered it. But you have to appropriate that. You have to access that in your life. If you're here tonight, if you're here today, and you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, this would be a good time. This day, this hour, right now. It's not dramatic. I'm not going to call you up. You're not going to flop like a fish. You're going to make a decision that you're going to put the fear of death aside and put your faith in Christ. It's a deliberate act of the will. If you're here tonight and you would like to do that, if you need to do that, heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here and you'd like to give your life to the Lord tonight, just raise your hand where you are. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise. Anyone here. No hands are raised. I will assume that everyone here is a believer and has given their life to the Lord. Very good. Now, if you're here and tonight you have seen that there is some besetting fear that is keeping you from going forward, from achieving the thing that God has put in your heart. Whatever that is, fear, whatever that cliff may be that you're facing, if that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Yes, thank you. Yes, keep your hands up. Fear of what others will say, fear of bankruptcy, fear of poverty, fear of the past, fear of the future, whatever it is. Now, Lord, I thank you for these whose hands are raised. You've brought them here tonight to hear this, not to rub their face in it, but to set them free. Lord, for everybody's hand is raised, I pray that they would be free, free to cross the line, free to climb the cliff, free to face their fears, free to do the greater things. I pray, Lord, that you will show them that courage isn't the absence of fear, it's action in the midst of fear, and that you will help them, even this week, to take steps to do the things that are in their heart to do. Lord, we just don't want to read about, we just don't want to watch others who are doing great things. We want to get in the game ourselves. And our hands are raised because we are willing and wanting to do that. So bless them, Lord. Take the lessons of this message and burn them in their hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Thank you. You've been very patient. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord. Now, Father, I thank you for this great tribe, this great people that you have assembled here on the north side at ACAC. I pray that each one will go forth in your protective and watchful care. Pray that you will speak to them as they go, Lord. And I pray that individually and corporately we will do things to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.
Yes. Well, you're not quite dismissed. We're not over yet, but we will be soon. I enjoy that message. You say, well, what do you talk about, listening to yourself? No, just the essence of it, visualizing Jonathan and his armor bearer. As I said, I have savored that story. I have reflected on that story, and I've tried to reenact that story in my own life and in my own walk. And so I hope it ministers to you and speaks and spoke to you about where you are and doing the greater things that Jesus said that we would do. If you would like to see more or watch some of my messages, you can go to my website, which the announcer is going to tell you about in a minute, purposequest.com. You can download the ministry app, Purpose Quest International. It's free, and they're right there on your phone. You can be watching or listening to this show or watching or listening to any of the ministry resources that are available to you there. Also, I have on purposequest.com a video, about 2, maybe 3 minutes, that talks about my work in Kenya and asks you to prayerfully consider being a part of that through prayer and through your gifts. And there's a lot more information on purposequest.com to help you understand exactly what I do there. So that's it for today. That's it for now. This is John Stanko, your host. John Stanko, the presenter of Cliffhanger Faith. And let me pray for you one more time, even though I prayed in the message. Father, if anybody is staring up and looking at in what seems like an insurmountable cliff today, may you infuse them with the spirit of Jonathan, which is your spirit, Lord, and may they set out and climb. And may they go up to the high places, Lord, and when they get there, may they enjoy the view. And may they look back and give you glory because of where they have come from to where they are today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's it for today. Until we're together again, you be about the work of purpose in your life. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.